Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, David read from the Old Testament where Moses tells us, choose life. There's two ways, there's a way of life or a way of death. And he also read from the second reading where St. Paul tells us, he wants us to be spiritual people, but if we're jealous and we compare and we gossip, that then we're acting as humans, not as the spiritual people of the church. And Jesus, in our pretty hard-hitting gospel reading today, it's a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And if we remember, let's remember how Jesus started this whole thing. Remember, he said, blessed are you. You're blessed. You're blessed by God. Hopefully, every day, like that song goes, you count your every blessing one by one. Don't miss the blessings. Then he said, not only are you blessed, but with those blessings, you are salt. You are light to the world. And you're to let your light shine. You're to be salty people. Well, today, he's getting into how we could become even saltier. And our light can shine so brightly. He wants us to follow in what his interpretation, basically, if you listen to that, it's his interpretation of the Ten Commandments. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us that he came to earth not to destroy the law, the Torah of God that came from our Jewish brothers and sisters. And if you ever watch a rabbi with those big scrolls they have and reading the Hebrew, they have like a wand, a pointer, that they point to it. And the pointer at the end has a finger pointing like this. Because the law of God is to show us the way, to show us the way of God. And to remember that Jesus was Jewish through and through. He says in Matthew's gospel, I didn't come to destroy the Torah. I came to fulfill it. He came to show us what the Jewish law was meant to be. And it was to be written in our hearts. In our hearts. He wants us to live for the word in our hearts, to live from the inside out, that our actions come from our hearts, from our souls. And forgiveness and compassion and agape come from Christ through the heart and for Christ's sake. It says that we need, as we read the Bible, Jesus as our interpreter of Scripture. We can't say the Bible says. I mean, if you say the Bible says, you follow the Bible, then you wouldn't eat lobster, according to Leviticus. You can't eat shellfish. You wouldn't eat a cheeseburger because you can't have meat in the milk of a calf. I would be stoned to death. If you sash your parents, you're to be stoned to death. And if you stole something, it cut your hand off. Well, I'm glad we don't follow what the Bible says all the time. But we are called to follow the Bible through Jesus Christ, through the lens of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't interpret the Bible in Jesus and through Jesus and through his interpretation, we're in trouble. Because the Bible we can use as a Rorschach test. And we can really get anything we want out of the Bible if we want to. We can read into it. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. It's like about the guy I was reading about. And he was accused of abusing his wife. And he said he abused his wife because, according to the Bible, the wife should be subservient to the husband. And he could do what he wants with his wife. What's wrong with that from a Christian perspective? Anybody tell me? Is there anything wrong with that? I can do anything with my wife because she should be subservient to me? What's wrong with that from a Christian perspective? Or do you think it's okay? If you are, I quit. Huh? Yeah, we're to interpret it in love. To love your partner. To honor your spouse. You're in a marriage to give to one. Like when I had cancer, it wasn't 50-50. Joan gave 100% because I was in a hospital with surgery. And ever since then, I've been giving her 100% every day, right, Joan? No. But it's never 50-50 because love tells you what to do. Love tells you what to do, to love your spouse, to care for your spouse. This person used the Bible because of their ego, and they wanted to show that the husband, the patriarchal kind of thing, and they missed the heart of the word. The church teaches that what Paul says, a husband should love his wife as Christ loves the church. How much does Christ love the church? He died for the church. He gives us every week his body and blood. He gives us totally himself to love us. And that's what to give to one another. Body, mind, soul, becoming one in love and care. Now, we don't always have that. And then sometimes we quarrel. But like my wife says, Fred, let's start over. So you start over, you forgive one another, and you start over, and you learn from your mistakes, and you try to say, okay, doing this upsets her, and doing this upsets me. Let's try to do what we support one another here and work with one another in love. The marriage relationship shows the husband and wife should live in full freedom, in full care of one another. And if the going gets tough, then you hang in there even more, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. But sometimes the marriage can be very cruel on people, and people can be hurt in the marriage. And so, like when I had cancer, I didn't want to lose my kidney, but they had to take my kidney out because I had a big tumor on it. They had to take it out. They had to take part of my rib. I have a big scar here. Well, sometimes in marriage, there has to be a divorce for the best. But the divorce, it always hurts everybody, and there's consequences to that. So that's why he wants us to work together, to love one another. To interpret the Bible through Jesus Christ. Now, when the church hasn't done that, when the church has gone on its own political trip or its ego trip, then you got things like indulgences. In Martin Luther's time, where people said, okay, we pay, you pray, we'll send the money to Rome. And Luther said, no, Christ forgives us, not our money, not the indulgences. You get things like the witch trials in Salem. You get the Inquisition. You get the Crusades, where they killed Muslims, Christians, and they killed other Christians, Eastern Orthodox. It was terrible. That's why we got to interpret always through Christ, through the cross. Jesus, Martin Luther said the cross calls a thing what it is. The cross is how we are to look at. I can't see you properly without seeing you through Jesus Christ, because you're a child of God and Christ died for you. That's why you have eternal worth. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes you forget that. But we're to call to that today. In our gospel reading today, Jesus points out real glaring examples of missing the point, of misinterpreting God's word. He said, like, for example, you've heard it said of people of old, in old traditions, you shall not kill. But he said, if you're angry with your brother or sister. Now, in Aramaic, there's two words for anger. One means the anger, like, you get mad, boom, you blow up and you're over. But what the word for anger Jesus uses is the anger where you let it simmer and you think about how that person hurt you and how you want to get even. You know, don't get mad, get even. Revenge is best served cold, and you want to get that person. And that's what Jesus is saying. No. Revenge, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them drink. Help them. Jesus says, you insult one another, you demean one another or your brother or sister, you gossip about your brothers or sister, and you get anger and hold it against another, and then you have the nerve to say, well, I didn't kill them, did I? No, I didn't kill them. Well, killing them would just be the final result of what's already in your heart. That's why Jesus was saying, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, I don't want to say, if that was true, I'd be blind and I wouldn't have any hands and stuff. He's not saying to take it literally. You see, in Aramaic, it was a very simple Semitic language. They didn't have like a lot of nuanced words like we have in English. So to get a point across, you had to exaggerate. But what he is saying is watch what you look at. Watch what you spend your time on. Watch what you think about. Because that eventually goes into your heart. And then it goes into your actions. So he says, be careful, be careful. St. Paul says later, what is good? What is true? What is beautiful? What is lovely? What is upbuilding? Think on these things. Think on these things. Get the mind out of the gutter. Think about these things. Jesus says, you know, you're not to divorce except for adultery. Well, he was talking about in those days, women had no rights. Some husband said, I divorce you, divorce you, divorce you, and he divorced her. She didn't have any support unless her family took her back. And if her family didn't take her back, then she might have to become a prostitute just to live. So he's saying, be careful about that. Be careful about degrading the sanctity of marriage. Jesus continues. He says that we must be people who say what we mean what we say it to the person. Be truthful. Don't cross your fingers behind your back. Don't tell a semi-truth. If you can't say something good about this person, shut up. Don't say anything. You know, or think about if I'm talking to Bonnie about Don, pretend Don's there when I'm talking about him. So I wouldn't say anything I wouldn't say in front of Don. That takes discipline. We should not use double talk. Whoa, that's right, we shouldn't. Double talk or deceit. Or even oaths. Oh, by God, I say this, by this, I say this. Cross our fingers with conspiracy theories and flat-out lies. You know, the Nazis were terrible people, but they did something unfortunate that politicians have learned today. Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda under Hitler, and he said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big lie. And tell it over and over and over. And eventually, some people will believe it. Some people will believe it. And sometimes we get that. We get politicians telling us lies over and over. And we start, oh, that's true. Well, think. How would Jesus interpret that? How does Jesus help you see that? Martin Luther said in the Eighth Commandment, he said, you know, don't bear false witness, the Eighth Commandment. He said, interpret everything your neighbor does in the most positive light. Come to the defense of your neighbor if somebody's putting them down. That's how we are to live as Christians. This way of Jesus is the only way that leads to what David read today in the first life, leads to life, leads to fullness of life, leads to a good culture, leads to a good sound system eventually. Jesus says today, love, keep your word. Love your spouse. Care for your neighbor. Be aware of the temptations that always come to us, especially to Christians. Because when you're trying to lead the life of God, when you're trying to lead a life of life and be salty and a life of spirituality, there are going to be other powers coming at you. That's why Bible study and prayer and worship, receiving the sacraments, are so important to keep us on the straight and narrow. Well, it's all summed up with Jesus saying, love your neighbor as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. There you go. This is how Jesus says we can be more salty. This is how Jesus says we can let our lights be so bright as these brass candles. And this is what we're going to see today when we go, we go downstairs and celebrate how God's blessed us and how we've been blessing this past year in our annual meeting. God bless you all. And may you be so salty, I'll drink water every time I see you. And you'll be so light that to wear sunglasses all the time. God bless you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.